produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Everyone, welcome to a Better Broken radio broadcast. I am your host, Angie West. One of my favorite verses is Psalms 34:18, which says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." In each program, I have continued to share with you how your brokenness is a big deal to God. If you're His child, He promises to take care of you and the broken pieces of life. He also promises to love you unconditionally, and He wants for us to know that He loves us no matter what we choose to do with our lives. I want to continue to build up, to encourage, and to share more testimonials like mine in order to give further help in your lives. Even if you've made mistakes in your life, everyone needs to know that you are still loved by God. We all make wrong choices in our lives, and no matter what path you may have chosen in your life, you can be forgiven and you can still be used by God. As always, we will continue to share how you can move past the brokenness in your life and how you too can become a better broken. Let's review some things that we've already talked about. In the introduction, I said how you're not too young or too old to experience brokenness. It is what we do with those broken parts of our lives that make us or break us. God does not give us burdens, but he allows Satan to have his way in giving burdens in our lives to test us, to try us, to mold us, and to make us, and to help us daily renew our brokenness by learning to have more faith and more hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapters 1, in the beginning, there was brokenness. I talked of how it all began in the creation and fall of man, back in Genesis chapters 2 through 3, where Satan tempted Eve, but worse than the temptation itself, she gave in to the very thing that she was tempted of, and she committed sin for the first time ever. As humans, like Adam and Eve after their fall, we too can sin and fall into Satan's traps. It was their choice to sin, and we too also have the freedom to sin, to choose whether we sin or not. If you haven't asked the Lord for forgiveness for sin in your life, if you haven't given those things fully to God, and if you haven't fully given your life to Christ, your sins will eventually destroy you and who you are as a person. In chapter 2, I spoke of broken curiosity and how it leads to broken choices. No matter how many times we are broken, God loves us unconditionally. He is the only one that can put all of our broken pieces back together. We all struggle with saying no at times in our lives. I've learned the true meaning to James 4:17, which says, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Something else that I have learned is that one sin leads to another, and usually each temptation becomes bigger and stronger. I pray that you will see and know that you are not alone in these battles that you are facing when you're tempted to sin. In chapter 3, I spoke of buried brokenness. There are some situations that might arise in our lives that are not with our approval. If you are ever coerced or made to do something that you did not want to do, then this is considered as abuse. Then I gave you some things to remember if you were facing if you are faced with or have experienced any type of abuse in your life. Sometimes it's hard to pick up these type of broken pieces and to give these things to the Lord, but it is a must for you to move on in your life. When it feels like your life is all apart and that no one is there for you, that you're all alone, know that he is there for you. You may not feel his presence at that particular moment, but know that he is there and he loves you. Chapter 4, I talked about covering up brokenness with sin. It's not the temptation itself that becomes sin, but it's the decision that we choose to partake in the temptation that's before us that becomes a sin. When we thrive on the temptation, the weaker we become to actually commit the sin. If we walk away from the temptations, we are blessed for our endurance, and we cling to the Lord in those times, God will bless us. When disappointments arise in our lives, we can sometimes develop bitterness if we hold it inside and we're not careful. It's solely by God's grace and by our dependence upon him that keeps us from reaching this point in our lives, as it says in Hebrews 12, verse 15. A right relationship with Christ keeps us from getting to this point. In chapter 5, entitled Continuing in Brokenness, I spoke of how Jesus condemned the Pharisees for outwardly appearing holy and clean, but inwardly their hearts were unclean and corrupt. I gave and talked about the definition of a Pharisee, who is a self-righteous or hypocritical person, outwardly living your life to please others and giving the appearance that you are good while having deep sin in your heart that is buried and is hypocritical, as it states in Matthew 23, verse 28. When we rely on our own strength and wisdom, we fail every time. But if we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, and if we set our affections on things above, as it says in Colossians 3, verses 2 through 3, we will have power that only the Holy Spirit can give us to break free from the chains of sin which Satan continually binds us with. I gave some ways to deal with these types of evil desires versus the fruit of the Spirit in this chapter. In chapter six, I spoke of how repetition is the key to brokenness. We cannot fight sin on our own. If we allow Satan to continue to tempt us, if we do not have the Holy Spirit to overcome those temptations, we will continue to repeat the sin that is set before us. I've asked myself probably a million times, why didn't I make better choices in my own personal life? I was then entering my young adulthood, and I had my own plans in sight. I had my own way of living set out before me. I did not see that the Lord had other plans for me all along at that time. And because of this, my repetitiousness led to unrepentant brokenness that would try to destroy me. In Proverbs Proverbs chapter 28, verses 13 through 14, it says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief." These verses plainly state that we will not get anywhere in this life if we do not acknowledge the mistakes that we make in our own lives. We'll keep repeating those sins over and over, and sometimes those sins will become even deeper. None of us like to be punished, but in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, it says that punishment is the way that we learn. When your children, your authority punish you if you do something wrong. And that's exactly how God is towards us. We are punished by Him, not because He dislikes us, but He wants us to learn from our bad choices in our lives. Today, our topic will be in chapter 7, called the unrepentant brokenness. Unrepentant simply means showing no regret for one's wrongdoings. Because I had some unrepentant brokenness in my personal life, I continued to repeat the cycle of unrepentant sin that I had begun with my hard lessons that went unlearned. I won't publicly go into details because of the things that I had in my life. But you can read more about this if you get the book, A Better Broken for Youth. Let's just say that I lived a double life. I outwardly appeared to be all that I should be, but inwardly I kept so much unconfessed sin and brokenness in my life buried deep within my heart's walls. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 13 through 18 says, "Meats for the belly and belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body, and God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to the harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." Here is a brief description of these verses to help you better understand 1 Corinthians 6, verses 13 through 18. Verses 13 through 15, fornication is another word for sexual sin. It's a temptation that we all face, and it's everywhere that we turn. We see sexual sin that's glamorized in movies, television commercials, the internet, billboards, advertisements, magazines, books, cell phones, and so much more. We see it all around us, and we hear about it so much that it's considered to be the new normal now. No one turns their head in shame anymore. Sin is accepted as everyday living for young people and old people. In many states, if you live romantically with someone for many years, then you're automatically considered a legal married couple without ever stepping a foot before a licensed minister or even getting married in the justice of peace. Yet those who have committed their lives to staying pure and to save themselves only for their future mate, as God wills, are ridiculed, looked down upon, and made fun of. Impurity only offers destruction in our lives. Emotionally, physically, spiritually, we can be destroyed by its sin. Its power and addiction has brought destruction and devastation to innumerable individuals, marriages, families, friendships, and nations. You might think that you've hidden your sin very well, but remember, there is one who you cannot hide your sin from. Your sins will eventually come back to haunt you. God allows Satan to test us and try us, and he wants to shield us from these wicked thoughts and acts. But the only way that we can have strength to turn away from sin is to be in his word, to pray for strength, and remember that our bodies belong to Christ. Verses 16 through 17, in the days of the Corinth church, sexual sin and prostitution were a part of their everyday lives, as well as worship rituals that they had in their culture. Born-again Christians are joined in the Spirit of the Lord and are not to violate their bodies in these ways. It may have been accepted back then, and it may even be accepted in today's society, but these types of sin will never be accepted by God. In verse 18, this verse boldly and plainly states, "Flee fornication," that is exactly what it means. We should get as far away from fornication as we can. It will only hurt you in so many ways if you turn to your temptations. Not only does it hurt you, but it hurts others who are involved in your life. It can bring heartaches, destruction, even diseases in your future relationships and even in your own marriage. It causes emotional scars such as feelings of worthlessness, frustration, confusion, emptiness, self-destruction, and separation from God. Because of this type of misconduct, the marriage union becomes broken and damaged. You can only cover up sin for so long. I've known this, but I did not believe that it would happen to me, that I would be punished for my sin because of all of the other good things that I did in my life. I read my Bible, I prayed, I went to church, all services included. I went to Bible college every day of my life, except for Saturdays and Sundays. But I was at the church on Saturdays, soul winning, and Sundays, both services. I wore skirts and dresses all of the time. Surely all of these things would dominate one small sin addiction that I had in my life. Satan totally had me deceived. Proverbs 14, 12 through 16 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident." Sin is like a disease. Without making things right with the Lord, sin will eat at your heart and soul until it is either exposed or confessed. Jesus condemned the Pharisees for their outwardly appearing of holiness and clean, But while inwardly their hearts were clean and corrupt. Eventually, the Pharisees were exposed for what they really were, as it says in Luke 12, verses 2. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Absolutely nothing can be hidden from God. You can try to hide your sin from your pastor, your teachers, your youth pastors, your Sunday school teachers, and even your parents or your grandparents. But there is one who knows and sees all that you do. I might have had some deep sins hidden in my life that I hid from others, but it never paid to do so. The truth eventually comes out, and most of the time, when it does come out later rather than after it happens, it's much more painful. It is like a painful plague that haunts you and your body. How you live inwardly does eventually come out, and it does change your lifestyle. It says in Titus 1, verse 16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. What will you fill your mind with, or what you fill your mind with, how you act, and how you think will eventually become how you live outwardly if you do not turn those things over to the Lord Jesus Christ and get guidance and strength in your life. Satan is a liar, and his job is to deceive us into thinking that we are self-righteous. Repent means to turn away from sin and feel sorrow, regret, or contrition. Acts 2:38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When you are truly born again, you should want to turn from your wicked ways of living. I should have truly trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ to give me a new life when I prayed for salvation. Then I would have changed the selfish direction in my life. I should have given it all to the Holy Spirit and asked Him to forgive me and to guide me. Baptism is a picture of your faith that you have placed in Him. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can completely wash away all sin. You do reap what you sow in this life. Galatians 6, 7 through 8 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth it to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I have already been down this road in my life, and I can truly say that this statement is definitely true. We do have to answer for every choice that we have made in our lives if it's not under the blood. Here are some things that or thoughts for your personal reflection. First Peter says that the lion prowls about seeking his next victim. Satan is very much like the lion. Satan attacks us most when we feel alone and weak. Vigilant means keeping careful watch for possible danger or difficulties. What are some ways you can be vigilant so that you will not fall into Satan's trap? And the next thing is a way that seemeth right in Proverbs 14 verse 12 is about choices. I have learned and taught that life is all about choices. No matter what stage in life, whether you're a child, teenager, young adult, middle-aged adult, or even a senior citizen, you will make choices and decisions for the rest of your life. But the decisions that you make now will affect you for the rest of your life. You cannot cover up bad choices by doing good. Jesus warns the disciples of the Pharisees' hypocrisy. And many times, we also try to prove our goodness of the outward appearance by our hearts, but our hearts are full of lies and deceit. In Luke 12, verse 2, it says that nothing can be hidden from God. What are some signs of hypocrisy that you might see in others or even yourself that you can give to Christ? There are many false prophets out there, and Satan laughs every time that he deceives us. We can be just like these false prophets if we live our lives like them and we're hypocritical. How we live on the inside will eventually reflect what we believe, even if we think others see our good on the outside while we are hiding things on the inside. How can we prove that we are truly who we say we are? Have you ever heard the phrase, "I look like a watermelon in a cucumber patch"? We laugh at that phrase when we say it, but we know that it's only a comparison to how we feel at that present moment. We know that there is no way possible that a cucumber patch can produce watermelons. By nature, whatever the fruit or vegetable seed is that you plant, that's what will grow. Cucumber seeds will grow only cucumbers. It's how God designed it. The same method applies for our lives. Galatians 6 verses 6 through 7 says that we do reap what we sow. If we sow good things in our lives, if we obey God and do right in our lives, then we're seeking to please the Lord and we will reap blessings from those things in our lives. But if we sow to the flesh, if we give in to the evil, sinful desires that Satan tempts us with, if we give in to the sinful thoughts that our minds create, then we will reap pain and heartache. What are some seeds, good and bad, that you are sowing, and how can you improve in this area in your life? Remember that no matter what you are going through, God is always there for you. No matter what you've done in your life, He loves you. And through your brokenness, no matter what it may be, you can be used by Him. When it seems like you're all alone, remember that you're not alone. Others struggle with things that you struggle with. It's my desire to share what the Lord places on my heart, and I pray that I'm always a blessing to you. As I get ready to close this program for today, I wanted to again say a special thank you to the Lifted Authors Radio Network for allowing me to be a part of this wonderful organization. I also want to say a special thank you to Tammy Polk and Kayla Padgett for asking me to be involved in this program. I want to say a special thank you to my husband and my children for their love and their support, my other family and precious friends that God has blessed me with. And I also wanted to say thank you for all of you who are continually listening. And thank you all for your love and your support as you support this radio program. Again, this has been a Better Broken radio broadcast, and my name is Angie West. Please join me every first and third Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time or 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on this radio program. Or listen to my Facebook page, or listen on my Facebook page, which is entitled A Better Broken Radio Broadcast. If you're interested in my handmade resin jewelry, you can always find me on Facebook and Instagram business pages under the title A Better Broken Books and Jewelry Collection. If you're interested in my books, you can find them on Amazon.com under author Angie West. Have a blessed and wonderful day, and thank you again for listening.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. 850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313. People who make the right moves.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Tuesday. I am your host, author Angel Charmaine, and I am excited to be in the space this Tuesday once again with you all. The last past Tuesdays, I have been inviting some female authors into the Speak Up Sis space to share their works with you. I've opened up this platform to allow Christian women authors the space to be able to share their stories through their writing, to share the words of their testimonies through their writing with the Speak Up Sis family and community. And it has been amazing. Author Valerie Champion, as well as Indiana Togo, who's also one of our Lifted Authors Radio Network radio show hosts. They have been absolutely amazing guests. If you didn't get an opportunity to hear those ladies talk about their work, you gotta go check them out. You gotta go listen to the previous episodes because they have been amazing. And I have some wonderful authors who are lined up to share their work with you in the coming months. However, today, I just felt like I wanted to talk about a topic that I think many women find difficult to deal with in their everyday lives. And that is this idea of quiet time. The idea of finding time in your life, in your day, to be able to settle yourself enough to just be able to hear yourself think, let alone hear God talk to you. Some of us can't even hear our own voice because of all of the things that we have to do in our day-to-day walk. So what I want to do today during this episode is to share with you from my own work, my very first book, Speak with Chic, One Woman, 10 Truths, which is a compilation of 10 conversational narratives where I share 10 truths that all women can relate to. I'm also going to be using the companion for Speak with Chic, which is God, I've Got Questions, 10 Bible Studies for Women. I'm going to use the companion Bible study workbook to explore this idea of quiet time and the need for quiet time and why it's important for women to be able to quiet our souls and find some time in our day to settle ourselves. So I am going to start with lesson number 4 in God, I've Got Questions, 10 Bible Studies for Women. And the lesson is entitled, I'm Busy. Why do I need quiet time? Have you ever thought this? Have you ever said this to yourself, like screamed, I am too busy to sit still? You know, people say to you, you know, you just really need to just calm down and just find yourself some quiet time. And what about self-care? And what are you doing for yourself? And somewhere on the inside of you, although you know they're probably right, there's something that's screaming, do you even know what my life is like? I don't have time to be still. There are too many people depending on me. I've got my kids. I've got my husband. I've got my clients or my customers. You know, you've got all of these things, or your parents, right? You've got all of these people, institutions, organizations that just require so much from you that you just don't have the time. And many women don't even see the need for quiet time. And so I want to explore this idea today using my book as well, or using both of my books, the book itself as well as the Bible study. So the first part of the Bible study is the Let's Talk section. And in the Let's Talk section, it allows you to really deal with the issue at hand. I can't hear myself think. Have you heard someone yell this statement? Or have you ever screamed it yourself? What are some examples of things that may be happening in someone's life or your own life that would cause them to speak this statement? I know for me, It would be my kids going, mama, 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 mama. Can I? Will you take me? Right? Please. Being the mom of four teenage sons, hearing their voices all the time, hearing what they need all the time, where they need to go and what they want to do, oftentimes will have me in a place where I'm screaming, I can't even hear myself think. Right? What are some things that happens in your life that causes you to scream that statement? What do you do when those things put earmuffs over your brain to where you can't even hear yourself think? What do you do when life stuff, right, makes you unable to even hear your own voice? Do you have a strategy to deal with these times? Do you even realize that you need some type of a strategy or a place or a time to be able to quiet yourself? Well, I wrote about this very topic in Speak With She, One Woman, 10 Truths. And so I want to read the conversational narrative that's entitled Shower Revelations in Speak With She, One Woman, 10 Truths. And I want to share a little bit about how I deal with quiet time and how I get my quiet time in. Shower Revelations. The shower is my sacred place. I go there to hear myself think and to understand things more clearly. Life's stuff, inside, outside, and around, doesn't seem so overwhelming while I'm in the shower. I reason with myself and ponder life's secrets there. I believe it is the water, the salt yet forceful way it rains on my skin from the shower head. Maybe it's the way the water washes away the dirt and grime of the day from my body. I watch the dirt trickle down the drain, taking with it the cares of my day or the restlessness of my night. It could be the heat. Let me tell you, every time I step into a shower and the water caresses my skin, I thank God for hot water, especially on a cold winter morning. Hot water awakens me and invigorates me. It hugs me and reassures me that the night is over and it is a new day. My mind becomes creative, innovative, and uninhibited. The idea to write a book came to me while in the shower. Let me tell you, I had a little talk with myself. It went kind of like this. Me, are you going to write a book about these conversations we have in this shower? Myself. Yep. Me. What? For real? Myself. Yep. I'm going to write a book. And you know what? Me. What? Myself. I am going to be a published author. Okay, you get the idea of how that conversation went down. But after the what's and for reals, I thank God for the vision and thanked him for the manifestation. Shower revelations are ideas, epiphanies, life lessons that help to cleanse my soul, reconnect with my spirit, and create positive change in my life. The idea to write and share these thoughts stemmed from a biblical verse, Revelation 12 and 11, and they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. Immediately, I thought, yes, I must share my testimony with others. For me, writing has been therapeutic. Many shower revelations became journal topics. I journal to find answers, to find sanity, to find solutions, to make sense out of seemingly senseless things. These revelations have been lifelines to keep me sane and in the game. Your place of serenity may not be the shower. It may be the garden, the bedroom, or the car. Whatever the place, go there. When you need to quiet the noise of the world, to hear yourself think, to feel, and to be restored. When you do this, the right thoughts will come. They'll come to your mind and revolutionize your life. This is the conversation. This is one of the 10 conversations in Speak With Sheet, One Woman, 10 Truths. It's called Shower Revelations. And this particular conversation is all about my place of serenity. It's all about the place that I have found where I am able to quiet myself enough to hear myself think. And not only hear myself think, but to hear God speak to me. I want to give you some scriptures from the workbook that I gleaned from the Word of God that will help you if you're sitting in a place where you just feel like you're so busy, you're so overwhelmed, you're just inundated with other voices, right? All of these other voices that are out here in the world that just seem to cover up and smother your own. I want to help you understand why it is important for you to have quiet time. And then I want to give you some suggestions of activities that you can do to help you be able to find this quiet time in your day. And these are activities that are also in lesson 4 within my workbook. So here are some guiding scriptures that will give you the kingdom principles behind this need for quiet time. The first scripture that I want to give you is in Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. And it reads, "And when he being Jesus, had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray." Listen, even Jesus needed time alone. Get that. Even Jesus had to find time in his journey to have quiet time with just him and the Father. He went away onto the top of a mountain to have quiet time to pray. The rest of the verse says, "Now when evening came, he was alone there. He went up on the mountain by himself to pray, and in the evening, he was alone in that place." Even Jesus found a way to have quiet time. He needed time alone. If Jesus needed time alone, what makes you think you don't? What makes you think that it's not okay? We all have the same 24 hours in a day. You can determine to pull a few of those minutes or even hours out of the 24 to have some quiet time. I want to take you to another scripture, Matthew chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. And it reads, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." That is Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Did you know that God rewards you for prayers offered in your alone, quiet time? That's right. You didn't know that? Well, now you know. There is a reward that God gives you when you steal away time to just settle yourself and allow yourself just quiet time with just you and Him. It's important. If you're screaming, "I'm busy, why do I need quiet time?" or "I'm busy, I don't have time for quiet time," I want you to tuck these scriptures away and meditate on them and think about them and know that your quiet time is important and it is necessary. Psalm chapter 1 verse 2 lets us know that quiet time allows us time for meditation. The Bible tells us to meditate on the word day and night. But how are you going to meditate on the word if you don't take any time to just sit still and be quiet? Psalm 46 and 10 lets us know that you really get an opportunity to know God during your quiet time. I'm giving you these scriptures to help you understand why it is important for you to have quiet time. Psalm 131 and 2 reminds us that being calm and quiet brings contentment for your soul. When you settle yourself, it allows you to just take some time to just embrace who you are in your life, where you are in your life, and to allow you to just be content with what God has given you and how He has blessed you. It takes you being still and quiet for you to reflect on the goodness of God. There are some other scriptures in lesson 4 that are in the workbook that you can take a look at on your own time. I just wanted to share a few today during this episode of Speak Up Sis Talk Radio. Now, there's one thing to tell you that you need quiet time, and then there's another to give you scripture. But I also like to give you some practical things that you can do to help you etch out some time for yourself and to give you some actual activities that you can do to help you settle yourself in your day or just, you know, in your week or in the month or whatever time that you can pull out to get this quiet time. I recommend finding a daily place and a daily time for you, even if it's just 5 or 10 minutes for you to just sit still and breathe deeply. I strongly recommend that you find quiet time in each and every day. So here, the first activity that I suggest you do is pick a scripture. You can use one from the lesson, right? Like you might want to memorize Matthew 6 and 6, you know, but pick a scripture that resonates in you, that speaks to you, and memorize it and meditate on that scripture, right? Speak that scripture during stressful times when you feel overwhelmed, when you're feeling like everything is going crazy all around you. If you memorize that scripture that deals with, you know, being still and being quiet and dealing with stressful times, you can begin to speak that scripture out of your mouth when you find yourself in stressful situations or when you're feeling overwhelmed. Also, you can pick a day to intentionally focus on your daily routine. So pick a day where you say, you know what, I'm going to write down everything that I'm doing in this day. I'm going to focus on what my routine is. And then pay close attention to the parts of your day when you're totally alone, and then select a place to be your daily place of serenity. The first thing you're going to have to do is actually look at your schedule and what you're doing every day. And I'm sure there's a time and a place and a space in your day where you're alone. Select that time, that place, whatever it is, and make it your place of serenity. It may be the shower. It may be your shower time in the morning or in the evening. It may be, you know, inside of your car, or it may be your office during your lunch hour, wherever that time is that you have for just you by yourself to sit quietly. Select that time and that place and use it daily to be your quiet time. Got it? Listen, you can also purchase yourself one of these new adult coloring books. I know this sounds weird, right? But listen, get you an adult coloring book and crayons. Believe it or not, there are benefits to coloring. It helps you enter a calmer state of mind that helps you begin meditation. Coloring also helps you to focus on the present. Think about when you were a little girl or a little kid, right? And you were just laying out on your floor with your legs, you know, kicked up behind you, and all of your crayons or markers sprawled out across the floor, and you just could spend hours just coloring. It's calming, it's soothing. There are adult coloring books everywhere now. Get you one, get you some crayons, and take that time to just be some quiet time for you. That's an activity that you can do to help quiet yourself. There are many other activities you can do. You might choose to do something with some friends, maybe take a yoga class where you all are, you know, stretching and meditating. I'm not a big proponent of the spiritual component or piece of yoga, but the meditative part, the stretching, that I believe is really good for us in terms of our bodies as well as our mental state. So you may decide that, you know, maybe once a week or once every other week or even once a month that maybe you're going to go to a yoga class, right? So that's something that you can maybe do on a regular basis, maybe not every day, but you can stretch every day. It doesn't have to be yoga. You can get up in the morning and before you start your day, you know, when you get out of the bed, just take about 5 minutes of quiet time to just stretch your body, right? And to just be still. These are all things that you can do on a regular basis to help you get the necessary quiet time in that you really do need in order to hear yourself think in the day and to be able to hear the voice of God in your life as well. I hope that this conversation today on Speak Up Sis Talk Radio has helped some of you. I pray that the scriptures, that you'll actually use them, go read them on your own. And I pray that these scriptures will come to life for you in your own life, the way that they have come to life for me and mine. I thank God that I finally got to a place where I realized that I do not have to be superwoman or super mom or super wife or super teacher. I can just be a mom, a wife, a teacher. I don't have to be a super. I don't need the super or the wonder on the front. I can just be. And I realize that during these moments of quiet time, I realize that I do not have to occupy every minute of every day running around doing things for other people, that it is so okay for me to find my own place of serenity, time of peace within my 24 hours that are just for me. And when I read the scripture that said that God rewards me when I go into my room and my secret place, when I'm quiet by myself and I pray to him in that time and in that space, that he rewards me. Oh, I was like, I'm sure enough good. So find your scripture and hold on to it tightly. And then find you a serene place, a quiet place, a quiet time, so that you can allow yourself to just think. Give yourself the space and the time to hear your own authentic voice in the ocean of voices that are in this world. You need that time. Even Jesus needed that time. So I pray that this conversation has helped you today. Please feel free to reach out to me at www.speakupsis.com. Feel free to send me a message through the website if you want to share with me what your quiet space is. What time of the day do you settle yourself for quiet time? If you have questions that you would like to ask me, feel free to reach out at, on speakupsis.com. And if you have any questions or comments that you would like for me to address during the next episode of Speak Up Sis Talk Radio, please feel free to reach out and send those messages to me. If you would like to get a copy of God I've Got Questions, 10 Bible Studies for Women, you can either order it from my website, speakupsis.com, or you can order it on Amazon. You can also get a copy of Speak With Chic, One Woman, 10 Truths, either from my website, speakupsis.com, or on Amazon. Okay? Thank you for joining me today. It has been another awesome episode of Speak Up Sis Talk Radio right here on the Lifted Authors Radio Network, a part of the Finding My Way Radio USA and Worldwide Radio Network. I thank you, Tammy Polk, as well as Kayla Paget, for giving me this opportunity to have this platform to share my work and give other female authors an opportunity to share their work and to talk about what it is that God has brought them through and helped them overcome that they put on the pages of their very own books. I thank you. I appreciate you. You all have a wonderful Tuesday, and I will see you next time on Speak Up Sis Talk Radio with your host, Angel Charmaine. Y'all have a beautiful day. Bye.
Produced by Kayla Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.